If you have any ash trees in your yard, chances are you're familiar with the emerald ash borer. And even if you don't, you may have been affected by the efforts to contain the spread of this tree-killing beetle. We're going to get an update on the emerald ash borer's spread across the Midwest and into Wisconsin, and we'll welcome your questions and concerns for our guest this hour. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 18th. What are we doing as a state to save our ash trees? And what can we do as individuals? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Brian Kuhn, the director of the Plant Industry Bureau, of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us, what exactly is the ash borer?
Well, the emerald ash borer is an invasive forest pest, a tree pest, and it's a small metallic beetle that has come from Southeast Asia. So it's from China, native range is China, Japan, Korea, and likely arrived in the United States back in the early 90s through wood packing material. So it moved in international cargo, probably wood packing material used to secure cargo and ships that came into Detroit area. So it appears that that things started with EAB coming over from that Southeast Asian area into the city of Detroit.
So this was inadvertent, and it's a big problem?
Correct. Yeah, it's something that comes with international trade, where emerald ash borer isn't the only pest that's come over that way. And to be clear, we're not immune from this. We also ship things internationally to other countries and have certainly carried pests from the United States to other parts of the world. So it is it has become an increasing issue, though, with international trade. The dramatic increase in international cargo trade in the last decade or two.
And why is the emerald ash borer such a threat to our ash trees?
Well, the ash borer is a threat basically because, it's not native to us, and so our ash trees have absolutely no resistance or tolerance for the ash borer. So these are species that, an invasive species that is affecting one of our native, or a number of, a family of our native species. The whole ash family is at risk from the ash borer. And, the ash borer is specific to Fraxinus. That's the genus of tree that it focuses on. So white ash, green ash, blue ash, the standard family of ash trees. And we have millions and millions of those trees on our city streets, in our backyards, and across the state forests of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. How does the ash borer kill the ash tree?
Basically, it kills the tree. The destructive part of the borer is when it's in its larval state under the bark. So when it's doing its biggest damage, it's invisible to us and very hard to detect. So it's under the bark of the tree. Basically, it girdles the tree as if you were to take, girdle the tree by hand and take the bark off and remove that flow system of the tree, or the connective tissue that moves the nutrients and water up and down the tree. So it gets in there and it burrows through the connective tissues, disrupting the flow of water and nutrients in the tree. And ultimately, it does right down through the trunk of the tree, girdles the tree until it pretty much chokes off that nutrient and water system.
Once the emerald ash borer finds an ash tree, is that ash tree a goner, or can something be done about it?
Well, I'd say historically, all emerald ash borer is fatal in all ash trees. We don't really have a good way of controlling it on a large scale. Now, in the last 5 years, there have been the development of some pesticide products, a number of pesticide products that are now able to relatively effectively control the ash borer within a given tree. So we don't have anything that can treat the forest at this point like we do for some large-scale invasive species, but for emerald ash borer, Communities, homeowners can take that tree or those handful of trees that they have that they deem to be high value because it casts shade on the back patio or on the house, a high value tree to them, and choose to treat that tree. And typically that's working through a professional arborist, but there are homeowner treatments as well available at the store.
And is this something that can be done on a preventive basis, or is this just to treat a tree once it's been infested?
Yeah, in many cases, it is preventative basis is probably better. Having that treatment started before the tree becomes infested itself is a better way to go and tends to be more effective, particularly on large trees. Sometimes it takes a year or more for that product to get translocated throughout a larger ash tree. Smaller trees may move it quicker through their system. So, what we'd say, the general guidance, and there's a lot of information on the state Emerald Ash Borer website, and UW Extension in particular has some very good publications for homeowner use on insecticide treatments of trees.
And I have put a link to that site on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if anyone wants to take a look at it. Why do you say this can't be done for a forest of ash trees?
Because it really comes down to you are treating individual trees, unlike something like gypsy moth, where we can do aerial application and spray the canopy of a forest. So we can treat thousands of acres of forest land in a single morning to control that invasive pest that also impacts our forests because it's out feeding on the leaves of the tree. So it's really based on the life cycle of the insect. So every insect and every invasive species is different, and you're trying to find treatments to control them based on their life cycle and their biology. The emerald ash borer, again, does its serious damage under the bark, so spraying the canopy is really not going to get at that insect. The way these products that have been developed work is to get that pesticide product into the flow system of the tree so it's translocated throughout the tree, and when the larvae bore into the tree, they get the pesticide through the material they're boring into. So it's expensive on an individual tree basis relative to other large scale treatments, and you have to do it tree by tree. So you can't go through the forest where we have 770 million ash trees in the forests of Wisconsin. 20% of the ash trees on the streets of an average city in Wisconsin are ash. You're talking millions and millions of trees.
I was just going to ask that. I remember having an ash tree at the home where I grew up at in Appleton, and it was certainly a high value tree to our family. This is a very prevalent tree in Wisconsin.
Correct, and again, they've been a great tree, particularly in the urban setting, and for those backyard trees, they're a fast growing tree. They're urban hardy, so they were preferentially chosen, and unfortunately, they were used to a large extent to replace the elm trees that were lost back in the 60s and earlier to Dutch elm disease.
That's right.
And so there we really experienced what is kind of starting to unfold across the upper Midwest and other parts of the country now, where we lost large-scale trees on our city streets, very large trees in that case. But we replaced them oftentimes with a single species. And so I think one of the big lessons coming out of this, and it reminds us of that experience, is tree diversity. It's just a critical thing. I think that message has gotten out there to municipal planners and urban foresters across the state and across the country now with what we're dealing with emerald ash borer. But diversity of species is key, so we don't lose every tree on a street when something like this comes through.
We are talking about the emerald ash borer and its spread into and throughout Wisconsin. Right now, most of the emerald ash borer infestation, this invasive species, is mostly southern Wisconsin. However, just a month ago, it was confirmed that the emerald ash borer also made it as far as Superior. we'll talk about its spread throughout Wisconsin and the efforts that are being made to try to combat it as we go along. And we'll welcome your questions and your concerns. Do you have an ash tree that you're trying to save? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Brian Kuhn, the director of the Plant Industry Bureau of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about the emerald ash borer and getting an update on how it continues to spread across Wisconsin, talking about the efforts to contain this beetle that kills ash trees. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question or a concern about the emerald ash borer. We are talking with a guest from the Plant Industry Bureau of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Brian Kuhn. I'm seeing that 5 new counties have been quarantined by the State Agriculture Department. Brian Kuhn, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, so we end up quarantining counties to try and reduce the movement of emerald ash borer to other counties and further out from its the known infestation. So when we find an infestation, we quarantine at the county level. This is a level that Wisconsin is using and all other states that are dealing with emerald ash borer are using. The critter is so hard to really find it and to know the exact extent of an infestation, because it can lay pretty latent and non-visible for a number of years before it shows itself. So we're using county level quarantines to prevent the movement of the beetle out of those infested areas or in those infested counties to other counties, and that's by working with the particular products that emerald ash borer moves on, and that would be first and foremost firewood. But also basically any ash wood products that move out of a given county. Historically also nursery stock, ash nursery stock was a source of movement of EAB to new areas. So these products that we generally deal in and Wisconsin produces through our forestry industry, nursery industry, and others, and move to other areas for additional manufacturing or move out as finished product that can still carry the insect pest to new locations and start new infestations. So then we're working with the industries and those individuals to manage those products in a way that mitigates or eliminates the risk of moving the pest, but still allows them to move the products they need to.
Well, we'll talk more about the spread of the emerald ash borer, but we have a couple of callers. Mitch in Mauston is with us first. Hi, Mitch.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I'm a truck driver, and obviously I have a vantage point. Being on the road, I can look down into a vehicle going by. I've contacted the Department of Agriculture over the last 5 years, not only the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, but the Illinois Department of Agriculture, because of what I've seen crossing into Wisconsin from Illinois, both at 94 and 3990. The first time I called was I had witnessed 2 vehicles crossing down at Beloit into Wisconsin pulling boats, and both of the fishing boats were chucked full of chopped firewood. And I called and it was during a Memorial Day weekend. As a matter of fact, they had Illinois plates on the vehicles. I called the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture on Monday, and I said, well, can't you put up a billboard or people up there? And they said, well, it's a problem with funds. And I questioned them about that because of the cost of all of the ash trees in Wisconsin to Wisconsin, the loss of those trees. Yeah. Well, this continued on. I was reporting all kinds of vehicles. Finally, I started calling the Illinois Department of Agriculture to see if they could do something, because they're very concerned about it in their state also. And they had report license plates. And this didn't only happen during the summertime. It was Illinois hunters right up here. Matter of fact, I'm going to pass at the rest area at Mauston. And here were hunters with with chopped wood in there. I don't think anything is going to be done about these people bringing wood into the state.
All right, Mitch. What about that, Brian Kuhn? First, you're not supposed to bring firewood into the state from Illinois?
Well, in some instances, there is firewood that might be compliant. Now, historically, I would say yes, that's the case. USDA, APHIS typically focuses on that interstate movement of products. So they're USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service is the federal agency that we work with, and they've got offices in both Illinois and Wisconsin as well. So we work very closely with them on issues like emerald ash borer and quarantines and working with industry as well. But the caller's, you know, absolutely right on the firewood front. It's first and foremost the biggest issue with the movement of EAB is what we've seen over time in our state and in other states. Many of the infestations, probably the vast majority of infestations, are caused by the movement of firewood. And so we've done, focused on lots of outreach and education on that front, including billboards in many areas of the states, lots of radio campaigns and other things. But when every citizen can move firewood, and historically it's been a long-term practice, it's a very hard one to turn and to get them to change that behavior on a very large scale. I think, you know, based on our surveys at state campgrounds, DNR campgrounds, definitely the word has gotten out. But that mantra that you've heard and others hopefully have heard, don't move firewood and buy it where you burn it or burn it where you buy it, those are the key messages on the firewood front.
Yeah. I have certainly seen those in state parks, those signs along those lines, but would I get a fine if I brought my firewood from my garage up to the cabin?
Yes, you could get a fine, right? So if in this case, there are many quarantine counties in southern Wisconsin, and to take firewood, again, out of those southeast counties to leave the quarantine and take them to an area north, up to Vilas County, for instance, would be a violation of state and federal quarantine, and that would be, would fall in the area of Department of Agriculture for following up on those violations. And also we work closely with the DNR because much of that wood is moving into state campgrounds if it's coming that way, and they're checking. State campgrounds have rules as well that firewood further than 25 miles from the campground, firewood that originates further than 25 miles from the campground can't come into that particular campground. So there are multiple state rules related to firewood and federal rules for the interstate movement of firewood as well.
Well, Mitch dropped off. I wanted to thank him for calling in and thank him for trying to report what he's seeing, because he obviously cares about the spread of the ash borer. Tom in Cedarburg is with us now. Hi, Tom.
I was wondering, you'd mentioned there are some counties that are under quarantine in this state. I'm wondering what counties they are. And you're just talking about moving firewood. Do you mean moving ash firewood or any type, maple or oak or any other type of wood? Is that something that you could be fined for?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when it comes to firewood, once it's cut up and split and it's in firewood form, so that split individual pieces of firewood, it's very difficult for the average citizen, certainly, and for even and folks that work with wood, to differentiate ash from oak sometimes and ash from other species of firewood or other species of trees. So once it's into a firewood cut and split mode, it's very difficult, and that is regulated. If you're shipping logs that ultimately might become firewood, people can tell what oak logs versus a maple log looks like when you're looking at a long span of wood. But when you've got it down to that small firewood-sized material, it's very difficult. So all hardwood firewood is regulated via these quarantines. So that's the kind of firewood, and it's all species of hardwood. Pine, the coniferous species, are not regulated, but all hardwood species of firewood would be regulated when a quarantine goes into effect.
How many counties? There are more than five. There are just five new counties this year. How many counties are under quarantine?
Yeah, across the state, we've got 20 counties quarantined. 13 of those are in that southeast corner, which I would say is, you know, a lot of the movement has probably come from the greater Chicagoland area that has moved up into our southern counties there.
Do you have a list of them right in front of you?
I can read these off.
In a minute?
Yeah, I'll go quick here. We've got Rock, Walworth, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, Waukesha, Jefferson, Dodge, Washington, Ozaukee, Sheboygan, Fond du Lac, Winnebago, Brown, Sauk, Vernon, Crawford, La Crosse, Trempealeau, and lastly, Douglas.
And we'll talk about that Douglas County one after we return from news, because that was, I guess, a surprise to some that it jumped to Douglas County. And we will welcome more of your questions and more of your concerns about the spread of the emerald ash borer, an invasive beetle that kills ash trees. What are we doing to try to contain it in the state of Wisconsin, and what can we do as homeowners or ash tree owners to save our ash trees? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So what are we doing as a state to save our ash trees from the emerald ash borer? And what can we do as individuals? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 6:37 on this Wednesday, September 18th. We're talking about the spread of the ash-killing beetle, known as the emerald ash borer, and the efforts to contain it. And we're welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Brian Kuhn, the director of the Plant Industry Bureau of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And just before news time, you listed off the 20 counties where infestations of the emerald ash borer have been discovered and are under quarantine. And the latest that was added to that list, if I'm not mistaken, was Douglas County, where Superior is located. And was it a surprise that the emerald ash borer seemed to, you know, jump to Superior? It's mainly in the southeast, and all of a sudden it's also in the far northwest.
Well, unfortunately, Joy, it's one of those things that is how EAB has moved in the past. It's unlike other pests that we've dealt with, and I'd give you the example of gypsy moth, where we have a front and we're watching that front that's moving slowly across the state and doing control efforts to treat that front. Emerald ash borer really has hopscotched and leapt sometimes large areas because, again, it is very much moved by people. And so based on this detection up in Superior, it came in. We can't say exactly how it got there, many possibilities, but, you know, it's almost assured that it came from human movement, whether that came from cargo into the port, firewood from the forest, or some other form of movement to get it up there. So while it's disappointing to have it find it that much further north than where we've got it elsewhere in the state and have it leap from the south to the north that quickly, again, it's probably a point source that brought it in there, and it has been sitting and kind of growing invisibly for a number of years.
So it could be it's in many more counties but has not been discovered yet?
Yeah, that's correct. We've been surveying this for 6 or 7 years now. We've been surveying across the state with the purple panel traps that many people have seen hanging in trees in their communities and in the forests along highways. Those purple panel traps are used to detect emerald ash borer. And so Wisconsin's had one of the largest detection programs in the country based on the forest resource that we have at risk. So we use federal funding predominantly to fund that survey, and This year, we've got about something on the order of about 1,000 traps set up across the state, and those traps are kind of skewed to that northwest direction. So those traps are being taken down about this time of year, and we'll look at those traps as they're coming down. We've monitored them this summer. The flight period's over, and that's when we capture the beetles on those purple traps. Again, they aren't perfect. They're much better than they were 5 or 6 years ago when we started trapping. Originally, we were cutting down trees and girdle or stripping the bark off the trees, looking for the larvae under the bark, and that was the original kind of detection survey mm-hmm. effort. Now we're not having to cut down trees to look for the beetle. We're using the traps.
Back to the phones. Gary in Delafield is next. Hello, Gary.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. The question I have is, I understand how the larvae is what destroy the tree, but why can't you spray to kill the adults before they have a chance to reproduce?
Yeah, the adults, they don't do much feeding on the tree itself. So on the leaves of trees, I mean, there's a chance that you'd see them, and that, again, some of that same systemic treatment may impact the beetles on the trees that are eating the leaves. So if that tree is treated, again, that pesticide product could be, there could be enough of it in the leaf material itself to actually kill the beetles that are feeding on the trees as well. So I think it will impact both the beetle and the larvae, but the larval form is where they get the biggest dose of that product, because they don't do a lot of damage. Unlike gypsy moth that totally defoliates a tree, emerald ash borer is, I guess, a nibbler by comparison. It's not really doing a lot of damage to the canopy of a tree on the leaves themselves.
So I think Gary wants to know, why wouldn't we concentrate on killing the adult beetle somehow before it can reproduce?
Yeah, and that's because I would say that the life cycle is short enough that beetle is out feeding, that we just don't have the window of time mm-hmm. and don't have products yet. There are products under development. There are products that have been in research to do that, to spray canopies and try and find a product. But to date, I don't know of a product that has been shown to be effective for direct canopy application. But again, our partners over at UW Extension are really the focusing on the pesticide side of things and looking at the different treatment options that are out there. So there's lots of material and lots of literature about a whole variety of pesticide treatments on the Extension website, and you can get through that through our Emerald Ash Borer website as well.
Steve in Eau Claire emails, I noticed ash trees being cut down in my neighborhood. What is the advantage of removing the ash tree before it gets the ash borer? I'd rather see these mature trees around as long as possible. Is that happening?
Yes, in some communities, they are taking down preemptively and proactively ash trees as part of an overall response plan. So most communities across the state have, over the last 5 to 10 years, developed emerald ash borer response plans. And some of those are being implemented prior to EAB being detected in those communities. Many others wait to start the implementation until EAB has been detected either very close by or within the community itself. And those responses, because there are so many ash trees, and again, we've seen in general, I would say that there's about 20% of the urban ash trees. 20% of the trees in urban environments are ash. That's both on the public right-of-ways and within backyards. So there are millions. There's something on the order of 5.5 million municipal trees, and the number that would be backyard homeowner trees is probably significantly higher than that within communities. But yes, some communities are choosing to take down some ash trees and turn that canopy over on their time frame and on their schedule. The issue with emerald ash borer impacting communities is that it becomes a budgetary issue. And if all those trees are infested simultaneously and die en masse in that community, can really impact a city's budget dramatically. So cities are structuring their response. Many cities are doing a combination of actions, including tree removal. So they'll focus on the worst-looking trees or trees that are impacted by other disease and physical damage that's caused the tree to not be healthy anymore. So they're taking down the least healthy trees, and in some communities they may be taking some healthy trees down to start diversifying that canopy. They may be treating other trees with pesticides, but they're trying to turn that canopy over longer periods of time.
Craig in Onalaska is with us now. Hello, Craig. You're on the air.
Good morning. Is there any environmental danger to using this pesticide to other species, birds or bees or butterflies?
Yeah, not that I know of specifically. I think on the pesticide side, I'd defer to the information that's available for each of those individual products. Some of those products are, there's bark sprays where you are putting it on the exterior of the tree. Other ones, they're all systemic, meaning they're taken up by the tree tissue and translocated. So for many of those, you don't have the same concerns as a canopy spray where you're spraying this stuff out in the open environment that could impact other things that are moving around. So it's fairly specific. Beyond that, I'd defer mm-hmm. to the information on the pesticide. And again, you can talk with the professional arborists or pesticide applicators on the details of individual products, but there are a variety of products available.
Again, the website that the UW Extension is involved with when it comes to the Emerald Ash Borer is linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page with information about treatment and pesticides on there. Peg in Sturgeon Bay is with us. Hello, Peg.
Good morning. My question is, if a homeowner has one or more ash trees on their property, how can they tell if the tree has been infested? And if they determine that is true, is there anything they can do about it at that point?
Yes. So to determine if a tree is infested, you're looking for a variety of symptoms, and you're looking for multiple symptoms. There are many pests and many issues that affect ash trees beyond emerald ash borer. So there are plenty of ash trees, and you think about ash trees across the state that would be in decline from other standard and native pests that could infest them and cause damage as well. But specific to the emerald ash borer, you're looking for that metallic green beetle in the June, July, August time frame when they're out and about. But what they come out through is a D-shaped, capital D-shaped exit hole. And those are very small, eighth-inch size exit holes. But those are what you're looking for on the bark of the tree. So when you're, and typically EAB infests the top of the tree first in the canopy, so that's why they're tough to find early in an infestation. The other one is that clear, thinning of the canopy. So if you're looking up into the canopy of those trees and you're starting to see thinning, again, they could be thinning for various reasons, but that would be one if you combine that with D-shaped exit holes, bark splits in the bark itself, and under that bark or within the bark splits, oftentimes you'll see the distinctive S-shaped galleries or tunneling. So these, unlike many of the other beetles, exit holes will be round for other critters. These are D-shaped, capital D, and they leave S-shaped galleries.
And then if you do have those D-shaped exits and the thinning of the canopy, should you bring an arborist out there to confirm and start treating? What would you advise?
Yeah, that would be my advice, is to bring on a certified arborist to look at that tree, confirm your diagnosis, and give you recommendations on the treatment options. Again, you can treat those trees, individual trees now in homeowner settings, and that's something that has come about in just, I'd say, the last five or eight years. With the canopy, generally what I've seen as recommendations is if you've got 40 to 50% dieback in that canopy, you're on the edge of whether you can save that tree or not. So if you're going to be choosing to treat a tree, prior to to 40 or 50% dieback in the canopy is where you have to start that. So early on in the seeing symptoms and signs in the canopy of the tree.
Thanks, Peg, for the call. We'll take more of your calls, more of your questions about the emerald ash borer after we take a short break. We're getting an update on the emerald ash borers spread across the Midwest and into Wisconsin, and welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the emerald ash borer and its spread across Wisconsin and ways we can contain it. And welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Brian Kuhn. He is the director of the Plant Industry Bureau at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Before we take another call, Brian, we just heard from a homeowner who was concerned about the ash trees on her property. What if should we be contacting the state if we find emerald ash borers are in our trees?
Yeah, well, to back up, I would just say that homeowners being knowledgeable and informed, many people wouldn't know an ash tree if they have one in their yard sometimes, or if that's the street tree on the boulevard in front of their home. So becoming more informed about tree species that are out there, particularly the ones on your property, to know what you've got and paying attention to them, keeping an eye on those trees and what's going on with them, so you can, every citizen for us can be a detector out there looking for signs and symptoms of emerald ash borer and calling us. So, yes, if someone were to identify a new infestation, that's what Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection's focus is on new infestations and regulating the movement of items in existing quarantines and working with on the regulatory side and education side. So we're interested and certainly very interested in hearing calls from citizens in non-quarantine counties of the state about potential new infestations. If you're in a quarantine county, again, I think the best word would be to work with a local arborist, a certified arborist, on looking at your tree, assessing it. But each homeowner is going to have to decide what they want to do with that ash tree, or in the end, emerald ash borer will decide, and those trees will be lost. So I think them proactively making decisions about the value of that tree and thinking about the value of that tree, because treatment is a long-term process. You don't treat it once, and it's good for years and years. With many of those products, you have to treat on an annual basis to maintain the protection on a given tree. So there's lots of cost calculators out there on the websites that you can look at and determine, size of tree, is it worth treating this tree, or should I have it taken down and replace it with something else, or do I just wait till it becomes infested and then decide to take it down once the AB has impacted it? But we really do want citizen call-ins to the Department of Agriculture. And our EAB hotline is on the website and out there, and that's what that hotline is predominantly for, is call-ins for new infestations.
Lots of calls. Mark in New Berlin is with us now. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering if any other types of trees are affected by this, and if they're not, rather than spending millions and millions of dollars treating and trying to win an unwinnable battle, let it run its course. The beetles will all die out when the ash trees are gone, and then plant new ash trees.
Well, what about that, Brian?
Well, yes, it is specific to the Fraxinus species, the true ash trees. So it doesn't affect mountain ash, which is not a true ash species. That's in a different genus. So affects all of our ash trees in the forest and in our communities, in true ash trees. And again, homeowners are going to have to make that call. We're not, as a state or as the federal government, we are not taking actions to treat large-scale trees. Communities are taking those steps. Individual homeowners are making those decisions about their trees to try and protect them, to have them around as long as possible, even if other trees in the neighborhood may be lost to the ash borer. Again, if that high-value tree in the backyard that shades the house and the patio is worth it, many homeowners may choose to decide to go ahead and invest in that tree. But originally, we were spending, the federal government was spending millions of dollars on trying to eradicate and control the spread of this, and that was being done because we didn't have a treatment tool. The treatment was to cut ash trees down in an effort to try and control the movement of the pest. Over time, that was found not to be effective, and so the expense and the cost that was being invested in treatment at a large scale and at an effort to eradicate the pest was basically abandoned, discontinued, and now we've backed up to, again, working with communities and homeowners to try and slow the spread of this thing while research is still playing out. That's still the hope. We've got biocontrols that are being worked on. Again, some pesticide products have come along in time. There's more being looked at on a forest canopy level. So, again, our goal is to slow it down through these regulatory and quarantine actions we're taking until additional tools come along to help us defend our ash trees before we lose them.
Everett in Ironwood, Michigan is with us. Hi, Everett.
Hi. My question is, has anybody contacted the Chinese or South Koreans or wherever if they have some methods that can take care of these pests?
Yeah, it came from China. What did they do about it?
Well, that's that example of in its native range, the emerald ash borer generally is not killing ash trees. So there's different species of ash in its native range over there than what we have, but those species have co-evolved, and so they, like many of our native forest pests here in Wisconsin, where they can do damage on an annual basis, but the trees recover. That's the case in its home range. So, in fact, that's exactly what the USDA APHIS has been focusing on, is the concept of what is it over there that is allowing those trees to survive? What predators are there that are feeding on the emerald ash borer? And so that's the biggest hope, is biocontrol, those Asian wasps that may impact the EAB population.
Well, thank you very much for the information and the update. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Brian Kuhn, Director of the Plant Industry Bureau of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening and calling in. Lots of interest in this topic. Again, there is a link to the ash borer, the emerald ash borer website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.